you're listening to a special edition of the Post podcast. Well, over the coming days, Bank of Ireland and AIB are going to ask shareholders to help them reintroduce bonuses a decade after they were gone. The trouble is, some of those shareholders are the taxpayers through the government. Ian Guider, what is the government going to do when it comes to voting? Particularly, what's Pascal going to do in deciding whether bankers deserve more money?
Hey Ian, how are you? Yeah, I mean, the banks have been really good boys for the last couple of years for the government. If you look at Bank of Ireland, it's profitable, it's lending, it's resuing paying dividends. So the government will get a share of that because it still owns 14% of Bank of Ireland. And in the case of AIB, well, it's delivered billions of euro back to the government last year following its stock exchange listing and is also paying out dividends. So on the face of it, why shouldn't the executives in these banks be given a bonus? Well, then the real world kicks in. And we have to remember, lots of people out there still hate bankers.
They do. I suppose it's whatever about Bank of Ireland, you can make an arguable case. It's majority owned by institutional investors. The state can't block it. AIB is different. And it's long been different. You know, it's still 71%. The government is still reluctant about diluting its shares more. Pascal Donoghue can block this one if he really wants to.
Yeah, the vote at the AGM next week, they call it non-binding, but if shareholders say, hang on a moment, we don't like the idea of executives getting up to double their salary in shares.
And that's what AIB are proposing.
Now, the bank will come out, nobody will actually use the phrase bonus because that is a toxic and dirty word. They are called deferred share options, and they are to reward a couple of dozen of senior executives, executives who they say skills are in demand elsewhere and could walk, and they need to reward them because elsewhere in the financial markets, bankers are getting bonuses. Now, the trouble for the government is, you say bonus, people who bailed out the banks, people who watched the tracker mortgage scandal unfold last year will go apoplectic about this. And that's where Pascal's Donoghue issue is. I've twice put it to the Department of Finance in the last number of weeks. Well, what is the decision? Do you back it? Do you agree with it? Are you going to abstain, which is the really weak way out by abstaining from this motion?
A likely option,
but really, if you're convinced that the bankers deserve these share options, then vote in favour of it. And if you don't, you should have told them not to even propose this. Now, one of the issues here is you can see why the bank itself is putting forward this non-binding motion. It's very well aware that, look, there are senior executives. They can walk. We have got companies setting up into Ireland who are looking for country managers for banks fleeing Brexit. We've got American firms expanding. So these executives can all walk. They're not going to be retail bankers who are paid this. They're senior executives. So I think they might get it over the line. It's how you manage the communications around it.
You made a point there, and it's something I've often thought about because I know they've put the salary cap of 500,000. Now, there's creative and ingenious ways to get around that. But has it stopped? I don't know. Has it stopped senior bankers taking up jobs in Ireland? I mean, the recruitment of Francesca McDonough to head Bank of Ireland, I know she's paid a little bit above it, is a case in point. You know, somebody who left a very substantial role in with HSBC over across Europe and London. Are we seeing it, though? Are we seeing this stopping people coming into Irish banks, the salary cap, the bonuses? And is it forcing them out the door? Or is this just a language and a rhetorical argument on behalf of bankers looking for more money?
It's worthwhile pointing out that the notional salary cap of 500,000 has been more observed in the breach over the years since it was introduced by Brian Lenihan back in 2009. Bankers have easily got around this salary cap. Richie Boucher earned in excess of it. Francesca McDonough, his replacement at Bank of Ireland, has. But there is one very good example as to people who have left Ireland. David Duffy, the former chief executive of AIB, He was paid in and around 500,000, and then he went to the UK a couple of years ago, and he's now earning £2 million sterling. He is getting cash bonuses, he's getting share options, and one thing he isn't getting is a load of criticism from the public and lawmakers in the UK around it. So that is the clear example. And I think the banks are also conscious of a few years ago when they were downsizing, when they were cutting thousands of jobs and had redundancy schemes, you could afford to say to people, look, would you rather just have your salary and just ignore the bonus? You'll have a decent pension anyway at the end of it.
Yeah.
But now they realise the jobs market has changed quite a bit, and the people they want to keep, they're not the people running branches, they're not the people on the front line of banks, or even they are key people in compliance, in risk, relationship managers, treasury departments, corporate banks. bankers, investment bankers, their skills now could easily get above €500,000. So that's why they're looking at ways to get around the salary cap of €500,000 by paying them deferred shares. The one thing they're not going to pay them is a cash bonus, because Michael Noonan, who was a friend of the banks in many ways, a friend of bankers, did put in a bonus tax of 89% on anybody that earns more than a couple of grand. So you're not going to get anybody with a cash bonus, because it'll all go
back.
And
is that why we're looking at things like deferred bonuses and other such things?
Yeah, and one of the other things here is we have to realise the new masters of banks aren't the Department of Finance, they aren't the central bank, they are people called the European Banking Authority and the SSM over in Frankfurt, and they are the people who say, well, if you are paying up bonuses, you need to have long-term share options so that people don't take risks, and also you've got to put in clawback procedures, so if things do go belly up, you can get the money back from people. So that's why these are share options. I would also say out there's an awful lot of people who look at the banks, and there are new investors, there are fund managers around the world who bought in and won't have a single problem with bankers earning €500,000 or
double.
They
won't, but do you think they'll be happy with how the banks have performed? I mean, we saw that when the political controversy was going on over whether they should be allowed to sell portfolios to unregulated vulture funds, you know, all of the brokers were coming out and saying this is having a drag on the bank's performance, the share price is even dragging down the European banking average. Are they looking at it? And if you were an investor in permanent TSB, although I assume nobody's proposing just yet.
I don't think Jeremy Mansling will be getting a bonus anytime before the end of this decade.
But I think you have to look and say, I mean, is the performance comparable to how the European banks are performing?
Well, if you look at it, the Irish banks are making money. Permanent TSB being the exception, it is profitable just about. But AIB and Bank of Ireland, they're turning over the guts of £1 billion in profit. Now, some of that is down to one-off items, write-backs on previous losses they've taken against property loans. But they are profitable. They are growing. They're in the fastest growing economy in the Eurozone. Their lending is surging ahead. And I think many fund managers out there won't give a damn about them offloading non-performing loan sales to vulture funds. They won't particularly care about the tracker mortgage scandal either. What they want to see the Irish banks is having a normal level of loan losses, which is down in single digits. They want to see them with high returns on equity. They want to see sustainable dividends. And as a fund manager in London or Wall Street, who's probably earning a couple of million quid themselves, I think they'd look down on somebody earning half a million.
But on the ground in Ireland, if you think about it, I mean, if you look at, and I'm not, we always say the man on the street or whatever, but rank and file taxpayers are looking at these banks saying, look, we've bailed them out at great cost. And even if we get our money back, the cost over that period, you'll never really get it back in terms of the cost on tax and on lack of investment over the last 10 years. And you look at it, the banks are not really paying any tax. And now, because as a result of using what you referred to earlier with the deferred tax losses, and now you're looking at bankers getting bonuses. It's a political nightmare for Pascal Donoghue. But there's also an issue here, and it's one I've long suspected, which is I don't think the Irish banks have ever really understood just what they've brought about and the level of resentment and anger amongst ordinary people around the country. They just went about because continually, every time they went to the government and the state, they were looked after and bailed out and brought back in, and they weren't allowed to fail. And I think as a result of that, the idea that what they had done and the impact on the country had drastic and dramatic consequences never really fell in with them. I think they were almost siloed away from it.
Yeah, of course they were, because they were earning high salaries and were insulated from a lot of the pain themselves. Look, the issue here for a lot of the bankers is, and you know, ordinary people out there are right to say, we bailed you out, you owe us. But in the cold, hard world where bank executives, policymakers, fund managers live, it is about, well, we need to retain the top talent. If the person on the street or if the person with ordinary shares in Bank of Ireland who got burned many years ago and thinks, well, I've had no dividend for 10 years, that doesn't really matter. In the realpolitik, to use that phrase of it, this will go through because Pascal Donoghue knows he cannot destabilise the banking sector. What he's worried about is, has the Minister for Finance approved bonuses? That's a political issue and that's a communications issue.
Well, he could ask them to pay tax, Ian.
He could ask the banks to pay tax, but then you affect the long-term share price of the banks because they have so much accumulated losses, they won't be paying tax anytime before I retire from working life. So that is the fact of life. If you take away those deferred tax assets, well, then the bank's earnings go down. Therefore, the view of the banks goes down in financial markets. And it is, if it's not stated government policy, it's clearly implicit that the profitability of the Irish banking sector comes before the matter
but
of
it's
a bonus.
Fake, it's a fake profitability if you're not paying any tax. I mean, it's one thing talking about an SME or a manufacturing industrial company in the Midlands or wherever using losses that they built up themselves and got themselves through the crash. I think it's another thing altogether with banks who were bailed out by the taxpayer. I mean, those two things are night and day.
Yeah, and I see the political argument around it, and we've seen this idea that the Public Accounts Committee would like to see a sunset clause about this. But if you start changing the rule for one industry, well, what's the difference between the banking sector, the manufacturing sector, the retail sector, the multinationals? You have to have a tax policy that applies to everybody, so changing it is very hard. I think what the government probably might like to do, or what the UK government have done and some European governments, is to get banks to pay a minimum level of tax. That might actually be one solution. But again, you go messing around with the financials of the banks, It goes all back into the share prices. And it should be said, Irish bank share prices, they had a great run last summer when AIB floated, Bank of Ireland was looking good, Permanent TSB was looking good. Their performance of late in a volatile market, I will say, has not been that great. So you don't want to go messing around in it, particularly because we are at some point in time going to sell off more of AIB. People will want some sort of certainty that they're not going to be that you're not going to be treated at disadvantage compared to earlier investors. We are going to offload the Bank of Ireland stake, and if we could find somebody to take it off our hands, I think we would sell the stake in Permanent TSB. So you have to be conscious not just of what decisions were taken in the past, but the future, because even though the banks have repaid some of their bailout cash, there's an awful lot of it still owed to us, particularly by AIB.
Okay, when he was Transport Minister, Pascal Donoghue made a hard decision. No one thought they were going to do it, where he sold the state's 25% stake in Aer Lingus. And, you know, considering his Northside constituency, everyone looked at that and went, wow, it was a brave call. There's a brave call here, which is to say either yes or no. Both of those in their own way are brave. And then there's the sitting on the fence option.
Yeah, the abstain option is there for any shareholder. But what does it say that the 71% shareholder, has no opinion on the policy, the remuneration policy, which is very important? What does that say about his confidence in the bank if he's not prepared to say it? Is it a political reality that he would just like this to go away? Of course. But I think he will have to make some sort of decision on this. And I think he will. Certainly, I think that he would be, I don't think he would be against the bankers being paid these shares. Most governments now have accepted that you have to pay bankers deferred shares or share option schemes. I think he may actually have to take a position on this, and it is not going to be one that will be popular with the ordinary person on the street, but will make him popular up in Bank Centre.
Okay, Ian, thanks very much.